Good morning, everyone. We're going to finish out this hour with a longer discussion on issues that emerge in our headlines virtually every single day. We're thrilled to have on the program E.O. Wilson, an acclaimed sociobiologist, author of so many books. And in fact, one of the most proud possessions that I have at home is a signed copy of E.O. Wilson's award-winning book on ants, which is a testimony, among many other things, to the power of methodical scientific thinking and observing, which is how we know so much about how the planet operates, even to begin with.
Watching, yeah, absolutely, the order of the planet.
And it's an absolutely beautiful book. Anyway, we're going to speak about another book, though, that's coming out called The Watchman's Rattle, about trying to envision practical solutions to complex problems involving the environment and politics in a political system that seems to be gridlocked. Rebecca Costa is going to join us in just a moment. But first, we begin with E.O. Wilson. Professor Wilson, good morning.
Good morning to you.
It's great to talk to you again. You know, your latest book was almost a sermon delivered from a kind of environmentalist pulpit on how humans might mobilize together and prevent the species die-off that world leaders are gathered in Nagoya, Japan to talk about even this week. Does that mean you have abandoned, in a certain sense, the power of science to make social change?
No, you can't move anywhere without scientific knowledge, and we still have a long way to go to acquire enough to get a fine, detailed plan for world conservation. But our main problem that Nagoya will address, and which is far from solved, is how to get the countries together in the most, even the simplest, most common sense. Agreements to immediate action.
You know, in the discussions that I've heard where you've talked about this, you describe how fragile and profound the biological infrastructure is to support evolution and life, but how weak our political infrastructure is to support social change on a planetary scale. What's going to change that?
I think what's going to change it, and why I'm here gladly with Rebecca Costa, isn't exactly the argument she's making in The Watchman's Rattle, namely that we have to move away from partisanship, whether it's on the state level, the national level, or the international level. That is based in turn on a rather archaic view of human nature and what the human condition is. And as Rebecca argues, and I agree completely, we should turn our attention to the recognition that the world is really tangled up because the problems that we have to solve have become so much more complex, even within a single generation. So we should be in the business of together addressing complex problems, economic, political, environmental, and treating them as complex problems, and get away from pointless and mindless partisan ideological argument.
And some of that complexity is actually in the political discourse itself, as E.O. Wilson describes. In a sense, the greatest investments that the United States made in scientific development were the result of the Cold War, a simple call to action that people responded to. It's a much more complex call to action to worry about global warming and species diversity. E.O. Wilson is with us, acclaimed social biologist. Rebecca Costa, author of The Watchman's Rattle, is going to join us in just a moment. This is The Takeaway. Stay with us. So you hear it every day. Global warming, oil spills, toxic Hungarian rivers, species die-offs, wars, famines. Complexity got us into this mess here on planet Earth. The Industrial Revolution, post-industrial capitalism, post-colonial politics. Well, the sophistication and scientifically complex initiatives and policies get us out of this mess. We're going to talk now with Rebecca Costa, author of The Watchman's Rattle, a study in complexity and a look at pragmatic solutions to problems which really do infect our headlines on a daily basis. And also with us, E.O. Wilson, acclaimed social biologist and two-time Pulitzer Prize winner, author of On Human Nature, his most recent book. Rebecca Costa, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
There's, you know, nothing, and it's great to have you as well. You know, the the idea of complexity is very intuitive. We all believe that that phenomenon has produced a lot of the problems that we see around us. The question really is, what's the pathway out? And every day we hear about scientific solutions and policy initiatives that might address some of the large, frustrating problems. But according to your book, the path is not necessarily forward. It's a kind of going back. What do you mean?
Well, I think the first thing we had to do was look back at, did other advanced civilizations prior to us have the same run-in with complex problems? I took a moment to go back to the Mayans and Romans and the Khmer Empire and to look at whether there were just some regular citizens walking around wondering why their government and their leaders were not able to solve what they knew would eventually be catastrophic problems that would lead to their collapse.
And did you discover thresholds and trigger points where people were able to mobilize? First of all, they recognized that these institutions weren't going to come to their aid, and they were able to effectively mobilize in some way?
Well, the one thing all of these civilizations have in common is the human organism itself. And it turns out that 151 years ago, when Charles Darwin discovered the pace at which we could develop new cognitive capabilities, he also discovered the rate at which civilizations could progress. We cannot progress beyond the speed at which the brain itself can develop new cognitive capabilities to solve complex problems.
And so the manifesto here in The Watchman's Rattle is a call to, first of all, do everything we can to help the brain progress, and I want to talk about that, but also to slow down the complexity so that the taxes on the brain in terms of what we have to do to operate our world are limited. First of all, talk to me about the way in which you can scalably improve brain capacity for the world to address these complex problems.
Well, I think the first thing I should say is I don't see any possibility of slowing complexity down. There's natural layers of complexity in nature, and the rate at which we make new discoveries and uncover new information, develop new technologies, is happening in picoseconds, far faster than the brain can wrap itself around. But there are certain things that we have today that ancient civilizations did not have. And the first and foremost is that we have mitigation strategies for high rates of failure, which can be used to buy human beings and human society's time.
What does that mean exactly? Mitigation strategies for avoiding failure.
Well, one of the definitions that comes out of Harvard for complexity is that there are overwhelmingly more wrong choices than there are right ones. And in a situation where there are more wrong options than there are right ones, then we have to accept the fact that we have to go after a lot of solutions at one time and accept that many of them will produce very little or no result at all. Let me give you an example of a high failure rate mitigation strategy that works. For example, venture capitalists. A lot of people don't understand that venture capitalists are actually experts at failure. For every 100 companies they invest in, 80 of them produce marginal results or no results at all. But 20 of them are so successful that they dwarf the failure rate. And in the same way, using the Gulf oil spill as an example, when you can't pick the winning solutions from the losers, no matter how much due diligence you do, then you're put in a position where you have to affect all the solutions, knowing that maybe 80%, maybe even 90% will not stop the oil from gushing into the Gulf.
All right. Well, let's consult a sociobiologist here. E.O. Wilson, Rebecca Costa onto something here? You flood the zone with multiple solutions with the idea that you'll hit on the right one?
Yeah, we have to be more exploratory and experimental in the approach that we take at government and personal level, and also level of business enterprise, and recognize that a great many will fail. We need to develop systems that really are focused on solving complex problems, And recognizing that we have to be able to evaluate results of alternative approaches and be willing to abandon the bad one for a better one as we move along. We don't have that strategy now in any systematic fashion or structure that we can go forward with. What we do have, however, and it makes an enormous amount of difference, added on to our cognitive capacities, which incidentally evolved up before about 60,000 years ago at the time of the breakout of humanity, modern humanity from Africa, and has not changed a great deal since anywhere in the world. And we have plenty of evidence that what we do have is science and the information flowing from it, doubling in capacity about every 20 years.
Science.
And we also have the information and the computing technology to augment what we know and what we also penetrate what we need to know. So
science, evolving brains.
We can solve complex problems if we concentrate on how to do it.
A hopeful message from E.O. Wilson, acclaimed social biologist, Rebecca Costa, author of The Watchman's Rattle. Wilson and Costa will be in Harvard Square tonight talking about these very same issues. Rebecca Costa and E.O. Wilson, thanks so much. I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headley. This is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.